Good morning. It's good to see everyone. A blessing to be able to gather together to worship our God. You know, in our studies on Sunday morning, we've been talking about going on to the promised land and that one day we too will enter that glorious throne in heaven or around the throne in heaven where God sits. We will be there. That's the promise. The Israelites were promised rest. They were promised that they would go to a land that was full of milk and honey. One where they didn't have to really work to get things. Everything was there. It was prepared. The houses were built. Everything was there. And the only thing was, they needed to be obedient to God. They needed to do the things that God wanted them to do. And so Moses in Deuteronomy has been explaining to the Israelites the law. He's not just telling them the law, but he's explaining it to them so that they will understand. You know, we've all been there before when we're listening to someone talk and yeah, we hear the words, but we don't exactly know what it means when it's all put together. And so Moses very succinctly is displaying this law so that when they go in, when they enter into the promised land, no problems. They will be obedient. They'll do the will of God and they will be blessed. One of the thoughts that a lot of people have is that, you know, being a Christian, being a follower of God, it's all about keeping the law. It's all about being obedient. And while that is, you know, the case where God does want us to do that, but his goal has never been for us to mindlessly or dutifully be obedient, to do his law, just to kind of go through the motions. That's never been what God has wanted. And so it's a shame that a lot of times he is portrayed that way. When you look at the scriptures and when we read them, we see, you know, God said, do this. He, you know, do this, do this, do this. Well, what else does God want? We're going to see this morning a little bit more of what God wants. Moses comes to the point in chapter 26 where he begins to give them three important reminders, three things that they needed to be reminded of and that they needed to remember as they go into the promised land. And so what I want us to do is look briefly at those things or consider those things, but also look at what our response would be for all that God has done. So the first reminder we see in chapter 26, and that reminder is thankfulness. Let's read a couple of verses here. Beginning verse 1, and it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. In those three verses, Moses, if you notice, declared three times that the Lord was giving to them this land. We serve a giving God. Yes, he demands obedience. Yes, he wants us to do the things that are, you know, that he wants, you know, that he has commanded. But he is a God that wants to bless us. And think about all that he has done for the Israelites up to this point. Verse 3, the picture is beautiful. He says, take from the trees. Take from the fruit of the ground, the fruit that you put your work to. The very first fruits, the choicest of fruits. And he says, and bring it to the priest. And at that point in time, you say, I declare today to the Lord your God, I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. That says promise. God keeps his promises. Now let's pick up verse 5. He says, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there. Few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our afflictions and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So the people were to remember how they were brought out of bondage. Now, if you also remember that these are the next generation of those that were brought out of Egypt. See, all the, you know, as we're getting ready, when it comes down to that generation is going to be gone. We're almost to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moses dies and then Joshua takes up the staff and he leads them into the promised land. And so they were to remember everything God had done. They were to worship because of what God has done. They were to see that transformation that God had accomplished. But notice also verse 11. He says, so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. He says, rejoice in every good thing. The people go on, verses 12 through 15, to declare their obedience to the Lord and pray for a blessing. He gets to verse 16. Let's pick that up. He says, this day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments, and that he will set you high above all nations which he has made, in praise, in name, and in honor, and that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. This is a very important passage. What we see here is the formalization of a covenant relationship. A few chapters back, we talked about how Moses was bringing down the commandments from the mountain. You remember how that whole thing went. Ended up that they disobeyed God right from the start and were worshiping a golden calf that Aaron said, here you go, do this. And so Moses goes back up and he comes back down, and then we get that God gave him a second chance. He gave him an opportunity to renew the covenant, and they agreed to keep the covenant. They agreed to do the things that God had wanted. And so verse 17, we notice there that the people declare, we will obey. He says, today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes. That's everything that we had just read. As they have brought their offering to God, to the place where he is, and they have given it to the priest, they are there standing before God, worshiping him, offering this sacrifice of their offering. And in doing so, they are making that commitment to be everything that God wants them to be. The Lord has declared that his people, verse 18, are a treasured possession, a special people, just as he has promised. Verse 19, and he will make the people honored above all nations. He's going to set them high above them in praise and name and honor. to be a holy people. In the very first chapter, we see that they certainly should be reminded, or needed to be reminded, to be thankful. And so as we look at this, I want us to quickly look at our response. What should our response be to this lesson? And I think it is that we need to be thankful and rejoice for all the good things that God has done. We cannot afford not to be. And the problem with that is that we so easily forget. We'll go about our days and we'll get focused on what's happening right in front of us, maybe the struggles that we're going through. We'll focus on our health. We'll focus on our financial struggles. And we've completely forget everything that He's done. We quickly forget how much He has done. When Israel was in the wilderness, what did they focus on? They focused on their tummies. They focused on the fact that we're out here, we're starving. Oh, that we would have bread to eat. Oh, remember when we were in Egypt? Well, we had plenty to eat there. Oh, if we were there. But you've brought us out here to starve to death, Moses. They completely forgot. What about water? These are all things that we need. These are things that are staple to life. And God says, He knows. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6? He says, do not worry about the things that you need, the things that you'll eat, the food that you'll eat, the water that you'll drink, the clothes that you wear, the home that you... Don't worry about those things. Why? Because God knows you need them. But when we put forth what He wants to seek His kingdom and His righteousness, it is then that we truly understand what God wants. God wants more than just going through the motions of things. He wants our heart. And so every day we need to remember what God has done. We need to remember and see the good that He's done. Now, I'll say that when we truly not try to stop and remember all the blessings, we're not going to be able to. There's too many. We need to remember, you know, the blessing of life. That the fact that we live and breathe and move and exist because God allows it. You know, when God creates things, He just spoke and it became existence. That's all He has to do. And so the very fact that we can put words together and sentences and formalize and at the same time be able to breathe and walk and talk is a miracle in itself. But we also look to the fact of our health, you know, the blessings of the fruit of our labor that God gives us, our families, our careers, His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace, the fact that we can believe in Him and put our trust in Him. It's too much. There's so much, and yet we forget the blessings of God. But He wants us to remember them. He wants us to keep them in our remembrance. Let's look over to the New Testament for a little bit. Keep your place here, Romans chapter 1. We're going to read a couple of verses. Paul writes to the church in Rome. And like a lot of congregations, they were made up of both Jews and Gentile brethren. But I want you to notice something that he says here that very much applies to what we're talking about. Verse 20. He says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Since the creation of the world, you could look and you could see God exists. You can look and you could see all the things that take place on a daily schedule. When the sun comes up, the sun goes down, and the moon's there, and the stars are there, all of that is kept in motion by God. And the fact that we can live on this rock and have our lives and to breathe the very breath of air that we breathe, one could only expect that a God that great deserves to be thanked, deserves to be acknowledged. And so when we look at what Paul wrote to the church in Rome and the fact that they knew God and chose not to glorify him and chose not to thank him, he says that they were futile in their thoughts. It's worthless thinking. They were thinking about things that did not matter. And he says that their hearts were darkened. They didn't have any understanding. So when we look at back at our study in Deuteronomy, we need reminders. We absolutely need the reminder to be thankful. We must not forget it. So that takes us to the next chapter where Moses tells the people they need a memorial. We need memorials to help us to remember the covenant. Verses 1 through 10. Moses tells them, he says, I want you to set up large stones on Mount Ebal. This is once you go into the promised land, you're going to put these stones up there. And on these stones, you're going to write all the commandments. Every single word of the law. You're to build an altar and offer burnt offerings and peace offerings. Essentially, fulfilling that covenant, establishing a covenant. God says, do this. They follow through with it. That means that they're in agreement. They're doing those things. And then we get to verse 8. Then Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to Israel, saying, take heed and listen. O Israel, this day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. So as they wrote these things down and as they put it in the proper place and as they brought their sacrifices, they were supposed to rejoice before the Lord. They were supposed to worship before the Lord. And this monument, or rather this remembrance, these stones would become a memorial so that they would remember. They would remember all that God had done. And so as they set that up, they remembered that covenant that we too have agreed to be obedient to the Father. In verses 11 through 26, he gives them 12 curses. If we're not obedient, then logic tells us there's going to be payment that is desired. There's going to be a response. And so when we go through, if you were to go through all of these, I want you to notice that after each curse, all the people shall answer and say amen, which means that they agree. So we had curses pronounced upon idolatry, so worshiping other gods, curses upon dishonoring parents, moving land boundaries. We've talked about a lot of these, and so he's bringing it out, misleading a blind person, so basically leading him down the wrong path, perverting justice, committing sexual immorality, striking down your neighbor, bribing others to shed innocent blood. And then we get to verse 26, and it says, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law. So you could get it all right and not do all the things before, and you do this one thing to where you don't fulfill the commandment, and you've lost it all. You've cursed, or you've sinned. And so because of that, we're going to see payment is desire, or payment is a must. It must happen. So what's our response? Our response should be, we cannot forget that we too are in a covenant. We are in a new covenant. We need to remember that covenant that God has made with us. Now, you might think, well, you know, covenants are, you know, when we're talking about covenants, makes me think of the Old Testament. It makes me think of the Israelites, where they had physical reminders, where they had to do sacrifices and give various different types of offerings of the fruit of the ground that they had to make on a regular basis. But we also have memorials. This is a memorial. The Lord's Supper is a memorial. God gave it to us so that we would remember the sacrifice, so that we would remember all the things that he has done and that we would never forget. Remember, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we do this, we proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim his victory over death until he comes. And so we're to do it every first day of the week. That's when the Christians in the first century did it. Should we be any different? No. Baptism is also a memorial. Yes, okay, God says we must be baptized. It's a command. But it's the command, this just like this is a command, we must do it because it helps us remember. What does it help us remember? The fact that our sins have been taken away. They're washed away. You know, God could have chosen any act, any type of thing that we must do in order to have our sins washed away. I mean, there's a lot of things that he could have told us to do. He could have said, well, no, you know, just take your offering to the he already did that. He could have told us to, you know, go home, walk around our house 10 times, we'll be forgiven. But no, he says, I want you to be buried in water. I want you to go through the death, the burial, and the resurrection that my son did for you. To remember that your sins have been removed. If you get a moment, go back, read Romans chapter 6. Because in that section there, Romans chapter 6 gives the perfect picture of this memorial. So their response should have been, remember the covenant. We have been brought into an agreement with God and we must remember it. And so our response needs to be the same. Lastly, the third reminder, we're going to look at chapter 28. And this reminder is, here come the blessing and curses. For everything that we do where we're obedient, there are blessings that come with that. And if we get to the point where we disobey or we go against what God says, there are curses. God expects complete loyalty. We see in verses 1 through 14, let's pick up the first couple verses. He says, now it should come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully some of his commandments. No, it doesn't say that, does it? To carefully observe all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings, notice what he says, shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. He says that when you're loyal, when you're obedient, every single time. It's just like an army coming and completely overtaking someone. It's an overwhelming sense that God is throwing these blessings at you. So the point here is not the people deserve. It's not that they earn the blessings for their obedience. The fact that doesn't matter, because back in chapter 7, 8, and 9, God argued against that type of thought. And that, do not think that you're being brought into this land because you deserve it. Remember that? No. So he wants them to understand that obedience, that their loyalty is worth it. Their loyalty, in the end, comes with great blessings. Blessings that will overflow in abundance. He taught this same thing in the wilderness. He said, trust in the Lord, obey him, and he's going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything that we see in this chapter and in all the studies is that we serve a God who desires to bless his people. Read the Bible. Yeah, okay, yeah, God punishes when we sin. There are consequences when we do bad things. Remember that, Caleb, when you were a kid? Yeah, consequences when you don't obey mom and dad. God's the same way. Look at verse 15. He says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord God, to carefully observe all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So just like the blessings, now we've got the curses, and the curses are going to come upon you like an army. And it's just going to completely overwhelm you. And in this case, we're going to see that their ultimate end is destruction. Our tendency is to ignore the fact that when we do things that are bad, there's consequences. We want to think, you know, that there nothing bad's going to happen. As a matter of fact, that's what the Israelites thought. But when we read the scriptures, it is abundantly clear that there is going to be eternal punishment for sins. Separation from God for all eternity. Notice in verses 22 through 24, he talks about, let me read it. He says, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And your heavens which are over your head shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. All throughout this entire rest of this chapter, the curses, yeah, the blessings which brought us up, that gave us the things that, well, God promised. If you do this, I will bless you. But the curses, we'll see, for their disobedience, bring them to complete devastation. Complete lack. I mean, they are destroyed. God, verses 27 through 35, he talks about how God is going to bring back the plagues of Egypt. Yep, yeah. When you were in Egyptian bondage and God showed his mighty hand and his outstretched arm against Pharaoh and the Egyptians through the plagues, he says, you're going to see it again, but this time it's going to happen to you. You're going to go through these things. And the end result is, verse 45, he says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed. Why? Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded you. If only they listened. If only they would remember. If only they would remember that God is a just God. Look at verse 47. He says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. So not only are they cursed because they didn't obey the Lord, But they are cursed because they did not serve him with joy and gladness of heart. So it's just not going through the motions. It's just not doing the commandments of God. We have to do it with the right hearts. Remember in John chapter 4, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The spirit there is not the Holy Spirit. It's the proper attitude. It's the proper mindset. When we come before God, we have to be intentional in our worship. We can't just mindlessly and thoughtlessly just go through the motions. It doesn't work. It didn't work for them, and it's not going to work for us. Because God has always wanted the heart. That's what he wants. He doesn't want robots. He wants the heart. So why? Why did they not serve him with joy and gladness of heart? Look what he goes on to say there. For the abundance of everything. So let's think about this for a moment. So they wouldn't serve the Lord joyfully from the heart because of the overabundance of blessings that they had. Because of the abundance of everything. So, essentially, our heart is going to follow the abundance. Wherever our abundance is, that's where our heart's going to be. And so God is describing that it's because I blessed you so much. It's because I've done so many wonderful blessings for you. You've forgotten me. You've sinned against me. He goes on for the rest of the chapter, verses 49 through 68, describing all the horrors of what will you say, what? We just talked about the fact that he's going to bring back the plagues of Egypt. It doesn't stop there. It keeps going. They keep going through all different sorts of struggles and trials. And what's the message? What's God trying to tell them? Be obedient. Verses 58 through 68 describe the Lord reversing Exodus. So ruin's going to come on to the people and they will be taken off of the land, the promised land. The land that God swore to their fathers to give them. Out you go. Eviction day is here. But not only are you getting simply kicked out of the promised land, you're going to be put back as slaves. Just like slaves in Egypt again. But if you go on and you read the last verse, it says, "And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships, by the way of which I said to you, you shall never see it again." You remember when God was bringing them out of Egyptian bondage and you get out to the Red Sea and you've got Pharaoh's army is chasing after him. They're going to surely die. And God, what does he do? He splits the Red Sea so that they can cross through. And Moses told them, he says, "You're never going to come this way again. You don't have to." But now he says, "I'm going to take you back. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves. But no one's going to buy you." I wonder what kind of slave that makes you. Pretty bad, huh? No blessings, only disaster. And it's because they disobeyed. You know, we sit back and we think, you know, why didn't they just do what God wants? What about us? Why don't we just do what God wants? Well, we look at all the blessings in life and we forget all the commitments that God has made with us. When you go back into the Old Testament, you look at the prophets. The Israelites fully 100% did not believe that this would happen. They didn't believe that God was going to come back and curse them and send them back into Egyptian bondage or send them back into slavery. And so they just disobeyed. They just kept living a life of disobedience because they've been doing it for so long. They believed, Evidently, God's not going to punish us. Boy, were they wrong. They were wrong. So what's our response? Our response needs to be, we need to heed the warning. We need to respond in a way that benefits us. And the fact that we don't have to go through what they went through. Luke chapter 6, another New Testament verse, just about done. Verse 20, this is essentially what we call the Beatitudes. Of course, Matthew has it in Matthew chapter 5. But in Luke chapter 6, we'll read verses 20 through 26. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. Verse 24, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. What did that sound like? Did that sound like some blessings and curses? It hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. Our covenant is no different in terms of the long-term blessings and curses. Now we're under the covenant of Christ. And that's a different covenant. And the fact that, you know, it's if it doesn't rain, it's not a curse. That's not what that means. The covenant Moses gave was specific for Israel. But that doesn't mean that we do not live without the future of consequences or promises of blessings and curses, rather. In verse 23 of Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, our reward is great in heaven if we're abused for the cause of Christ. He says, for the Son of Man's sake. Jesus gives warnings of judgment and loss for making life about what it is right now. Did you notice that? All the things that he pronounced the woes on were things that were happening right now. Things that you see right in front of you. The fact that you are full, you're content right now. The fact of people speaking about you right now. The fact of all these things taking place. So, God is looking for us to have thankful obedience for all he's done. We cannot afford to forget. We must desire the memorials. God gave them to us for a reason. When God says, I want you to do this on the first day of every week, where should we be on the first day of every week? Remembering, right? We need to remember the importance and the significance of that sacrifice. We don't forget the fact that we have been forgiven of all our sins. All our sins have been removed, taken far away from us. We have been given the promise of eternal life, just like the Israelites were given the promise of the promised land, to go in there and just to have rest. That's what it's about. If we will not be loyal to the covenant, we can be sure that the curses are going to follow. However, if we're loyal, if we're faithful, if we do the things that he says and we do the things that he wants, living it with our heart, then we have blessings that will overtake us, that will overwhelm us. You know, we are completely out of our mind if we think that we're not going to receive a consequence for bad behavior. Completely lost it if we think that we can live life how we want to, even though God has said, this is what I want you to do. So, three reminders. This will be on the test when you get there. First reminder, be thankful. God has given us so much, so many blessings. The second reminder, remember by using memorials. Take advantage of the memorials. And then lastly, there's blessings and curses. God has always put this in perspective. If you'll do what I say, if you live this way, then you're going to have it made. But if you don't, you're going to have nothing but trouble, sorrow, heartache, and separation. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling in your life, and you need prayers for strength through a difficult time, maybe you need to come back or become closer to the Lord. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Him. You're not a Christian. You'd like to become one. Well, this morning we'd love to help you. So if you need to put Him on in baptism, to obey the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, to have forgiveness of your sins, and to live faithfully all your life, if you're ready for that commitment, it's worth it. So won't you come now as we stand and sing the song of invitation?